Welcome back to Travoltine Presents Easy Riders, hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore.
Covering the last word. Enjoy the episode.
I got the last word about this movie, bro. This shit sucks.
It's awful. It's the worst. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I would not go that far. It's rather bad, though.
It's rather bad. I watched this and I spoke to my partner afterwards and I was telling her about, you know, the previous few movies that we've had to see. Winona's bad movies are like worse than some of the other bad movies we've had to cover.
Yes.
Because they're just like middle of the road 4 or 5 out of 10.
See,
I would rather give me a 1, 2, or 3 out of 10 Fraser Travolting movie, like Life on the Line or Secret of Karma or Speed Kills. I would rather watch that than this heap of garbage.
Almost all of the Travolta bad movies were funny.
Yeah.
Mostly because he was funny in them.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, we're willing to basically write off his career. We're just like, this guy's just crazy.
Yeah.
With Fraser, it's like just kind of, I think Fraser's is almost as bad as this if it wasn't for Secret of Karma, which I had so much fun with.
Yeah.
But like the Fraser run where we're talking about like Gimme Shelter, Pawn Shop Chronicles, Harebrained, A Case of You, Whole Lot of Soul.
Whole Lot of Soul is pretty bad.
Yeah, like that's a comparably rough run.
Harebrained was pretty bad.
Harebrained's still maybe the worst movie I've ever seen.
A Case of You, I think you and I both agree. It's bad, but it's a rom-com.
Yeah,
it's like you got to respect the rom-com of it all. And Justin Long. Justin Long Dong. Like,
yeah, Justin Long is in that movie.
Justin Long Dong.
I feel like I'm just seeing so many movies now from this time period that I had no idea Justin Long was in.
Right.
And I'm just like unsettled.
Was there one that we covered with Winona Justin Long was in?
I don't think so.
Not yet. Not yet. I don't think
so. What did I watch recently that Justin Long was in? He popped up in... Oh,
Galaxy Quest?
Yeah, my in-laws are watching Galaxy Quest and Justin Long was was in this?
Yeah.
I've seen this movie before. I had no memory.
I remember Justin Long in Galaxy Quest.
I watched Die Hard 4, unfortunately, and he is in that.
Unfortunately?
Die Hard 4 is not great. Have you seen Die Hard 4?
I have. That's Live Free, Die Hard.
Yeah, it's Live Free or Die Hard.
That's the one where the computer hacker is going to...
blow up the country.
Yeah, because he's got the football nuclear codes.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
It's very
hacker-oriented.
Yeah, it's very 2007.
Yes.
The thing about the Die Hard movies is that two of them are incredible. One of them is like watchable and then two are bad. 1 and 3 are like borderline perfect. The first one is perfect. The third one's really good.
Yeah.
But the thing I do like is that they all follow a very clean escalation.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, a building is being held hostage.
Okay.
The second one, an airport is being held hostage with all the planes in the sky.
Yeah.
That's
a jump.
That's like you're doubling the scale. It feels like a reasonable size increase.
Yeah.
The third one, a city is being held hostage.
Oh.
Make things a little bigger.
Mm.
The fourth one, the country is being held hostage. All right. The fifth one, the world is being held hostage. It's kind of like, even if 4 and 5 suck ass, I gotta say, that is the correct escalation to
and
be
it's
going.
It's still just a New York City cop that fixes it all.
Yeah. That's why those movies don't work. But like, I still kind of gotta respect that they went for it.
Yeah.
If Bruce Willis did not have serious dementia issues.
Yeah.
Die Hard 6 should be made and should involve the solar system being held hostage by aliens of some sort.
Where's Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Joseph, bring him back.
Bring him back. He played young Willis once. He can do it again. He can do it again.
No, he's too busy being in Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F.
Axel F.
Yeah, that's what Beverly Hills Cop 4 is called. It's on Netflix in 1 week.
Okay.
I will maybe watch it at some point.
But folks, you're watching this after we've covered Sex and Death 101 and prior to that, the 10. I just want to note, this is just me, probably along with the audience, looking at Winona's IMDb. She's got some short films around this time period. Now, we're not going to cover those short films unless if we're really desperate for...
We're sticking with the things that like people
Right.
Watch.
I just mean, if we're desperate to fill in an episode or two or something, we might cover the short films. But all that to be said, Winona's in a short film in 2007 called Welcome, and then she does another short film in 2009 called Water Pills. I've not seen either of those movies. I might try and look them up, see if I can find them, just to get a good view of them and tell the audience in like 5 minutes if they're good or not.
Yeah.
But all that to say, and then next week we're going to talk about The Informers.
Yes. It's a really rough run.
It's a rough run. And as I said prior, it's like the really awful part of this whole thing is I am so bored in all of these movies. And Winona, like, I've yet to see a movie, and maybe you have, but I've yet to see a movie where through and through at the end of it, I thought, Winona, yikes.
Yeah, she has not, there have been, like, she hasn't been as good in these movies as she obviously was in other, like, real movies.
Right, real movies.
I would
movies.
Not say these are great performances.
But she's
she
not
is,
like,
she's not phoning it in.
Right.
And you can really tell that because this is, like, her just trying to rebuild, like, a career. She basically has to start from square one.
Yeah.
Doing these, like, dirt shit, like, $20 production gummy bear crafty movies.
Yeah. Gummy bear crafty movies.
We're, like, working her, like, she has to work her way back up through this, like, territory again.
Yeah.
Which she never had to do the first time because she just gets kind of plucked from obscurity into stardom very quickly.
Right.
Which is, so that's interesting that we never had to, like, kind of talk, like, even with Travolta, we kind of talked about, like, your boy in the plastic bubbles and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
which were kind of in similar vein to this.
Yeah.
But we never had that with Winona until now.
Yeah, it's weird.
And you can tell through these movies that, you know, because she took that time off to kind of reevaluate and see what does she want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that her evaluation is, I want to go back and do this again.
Yeah.
And she's trying through these movies to, like, establish her credibility again.
Yeah.
And you don't reestablish your credibility by phoning it in.
Yeah, because like I said, there just hasn't been like a single performance I can point to be like, yep, that was one where she wasn't dialed in. Like, you're right. There are obviously more. Well, I think you said it. There are real movies that she does, and she knows that they're real movies, and she really goes for it. And then there are these kind of movies where she knows she doesn't have to, like, win an Oscar for it.
Yeah, she doesn't have to, like, you know, do the level of prep that she does for, like,
but
hell, that, even Alien Resurrection.
Yeah. But all that to be said, like, I still think she's, like, she's trying some things in these movies. But
she's doing her job. She's delivering a performance.
And I don't care.
Yeah, it's still
that's,
like,
That's the real bad part of it all. Is I, as much as she's might be trying or not trying, I can't really say. I don't care because these movies are
so bad.
Bad. And they're so boring. So boring.
That's the thing is, like, you watch, you know, more than two or three of these movies that we talk about, such as Darwin Awards, The Ten, this, kind of exist in this weird, like, they're just the creation of, like, a person. Maybe not this as much, but a movie we're going to talk about, The Last Word, or Stay Cool.
Yeah.
Where, like, it's not like a studio kind of funded this movie, necessarily. It's not like it was made by a production company. It kind of just seems like there's, like,
A guy. Yeah.
Who pulls the money together to make a movie. With some, like, cheap talent.
Yeah.
And this kind of, I don't know that much about the director, Jeffrey Haley. There's not that much available because, like, why would there be?
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like this might be the same situation. Because it is distributed by Image Entertainment, which is just, like, one of those, like, they churn out 2 million movies a year companies.
What a business model.
Yeah, put me in that model. I'll make you some dirt shit movies.
But, like, easy. You don't even have to really work for them. Not really. You don't have to really put in a bunch of work in on it. Okay.
But, so there's not that much about, like, the making of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
How she gets involved in it. It's probably just, like, there's a script. He pulls the director, writer, producer pulls some financiers together to make this movie. It probably has, like, a $2 million budget. They film it over the course of, like, a month. And then they edit it, and they put it out on a DVD.
Yeah.
Where I order it 15 years later.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Yeah. if you're listening to this and you're due some royalties because of us, you're welcome.
I did buy a DVD, so yeah, you got some royalties.
Mm-hmm.
Because the movie is not available to watch any other way. Unless, well, I'm looking for ways to watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart, you remember this. The one way to watch this movie
yeah.
was on Hoopla.
Hoopla.
Where you need a library card.
Oh my God.
A thing I did sign up for. I did get a library card, but I did not get it in time
yes.
to watch this.
I forgot about this whole like hoopla we ran into.
And you remember you forgot about
that? Forgot about the hoopla.
I am sick of these fucking like amount of streaming services that they're available now. And like they all have the fakest names ever. If you have a library card, you can watch it on Hoopla.
Hoopla.
But if it's not on Hoopla, it might be on Canopy.
Yeah. And if it's not on Canopy, it might be on Drywall.
Yeah, you might be able to watch it on Temu, which is Tubi. I like Tubi. Tubi is the best streaming service. I want to say that. You've really? Been on Tubi?
Not really.
Tubi's, it's free.
Yeah.
Just ads.
Yeah.
You don't even need an account.
Yeah.
You just go onto it.
Yeah.
And there will be a section called drama. And it will be 200 movies you have never fucking heard of before.
Yeah.
Like Shark versus Alien. And then next to it, Oppenheimer. And then the one after that, like Shark versus Alien 2. It's great. It is the closest you can get to going to a Blockbuster video in the streaming age.
Yeah.
I want to have some friends over and do a Tubi party where we all scroll and we pick a movie and we watch it.
Nice. I'd be down for that.
I spent an hour and a half with two of our friends scrolling through Tubi a few nights ago. It was great.
That's awesome.
But anyway, streaming services, too many of them, consolidate the market. I normally would disagree with that, but in this case, emergency intervention is needed. Mr. President Biden, I know your debate wasn't too good. If you want to regain some voters, just go out there and say, folks, one streaming service. And you know what? It'll work. You get the votes. The last word.
The last word. You feel better.
Any
you feel
more
better, Jeff.
Pretext to this to
I
talk
don't,
about?
I don't have any fucking
There's
pretext.
There's no pretext, right?
There is no pretext.
Oh, there is one pretext.
What's the pretext?
So this movie co-star... Winona's like the second lead of this movie.
Yes.
The lead of this movie is Wes Bentley.
Yes.
Who's an actor who I like pretty well.
Yeah.
He gave an interview with the New York Times in 2010 where he said that this movie was made in the midst of his cocaine and heroin addictions.
Yeah.
And that he basically only agreed to be in this movie, amongst others, in order to get money for drugs.
Yeah.
Which bodes well to the quality of the script here, if the only reason someone's doing it is to get drug money.
Absolutely.
But then he's in The Hunger Games, like 2 years after this, and his career starts rebuilding itself.
Yeah, he gets clean. Like a year after this movie.
Yeah, maybe the experience of being in this movie is like his rock bottom. Like where he's like, I cannot fucking believe I got the last word.
I gotta stop drinking. I gotta stop doing drugs.
I gotta get out of this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was in The Last Word, I too would have a crisis of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Do we just want to start talking about this movie?
Yeah, it won't take us very long.
It will not take long to get through this movie.
Because the opening scene is they're at a diner, and when I say they I mean Evan, played by Wes Bentley, and who's this
some guy just a client.
Yeah, I think it's I don't know, I don't even want to say
it's it. Not Romano yet.
No, it's not Romano. And they're talking through like a piece of writing that Wes Bentley's been hired to work on.
Yes.
We don't really get the full picture yet of what it is.
Yeah,
I don't think in the first scene.
No, we get the vibe that people hire him to write things for them.
Yes.
And like I think you're led to believe like he writes speeches or he like does work for people.
Yeah.
That's kind of like where this is leading towards.
Yeah.
He's like the Gray Morris of your brain.
Yeah.
He's like this incredibly edgy narration.
Wes Bentley, in this movie, the best I can describe him as is like kind of like a he's almost like playing like a catatonic mental patient who's at the third act going to be possessed by a devil.
Yes.
Like he's just like, yeah, I write these things and I don't think I want to continue writing these things. Like
his vibe is a guy who gets possessed by demon in first act during the second act. Like he's like the guy when he's walking around trying to pretend to be normal while the demon or the alien is inside of him.
Yeah.
We are discounting the Men in Black Vincent D'Onofrio performance for this. Because that is a very different view.
Put sugar in water.
What is going on?
Okay.
Sugar in water. And if you're mad, you won't even be mad.
Discounting that. That's a very deliberate take.
That's a very different take on it.
This is what I would imagine, like, in the horror movie, you know, the Paimon is taking control of the body. And,
yeah.
And the second act is hunting down our hero in the movie.
Yeah.
His performance evokes that type of archetype.
Just that, like, he has a very stuck inside of his own shell demeanor. Like he doesn't have a lot of, he's not very vibrant.
No,
he's a very dim character in this movie. And dull.
Yes. He's very static.
Yeah.
Doesn't really move.
Yeah.
I understand that he is in the throes of addiction battles at this time, and I don't want to discount the trauma of that and the difficulty of that experience, because I do like Wes Bentley as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this movie is just like rough for him. He's not good in this at all. He's rather terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And I'm sure he had a lot going on offset that was bleeding onset, and he didn't have the mental capacity to really engage with the material.
Yeah.
And that being said, there isn't much material to engage with.
Yeah.
So I don't want to knock him too much, but I do want to say, like, it's a really rough lead performance.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to grab onto.
No.
And anytime that Winona's not on screen and we're just with him, I'm like, can we just get back to, like...
Yeah.
Like, and then, like, when Ray Romano shows up later.
Ray Romano.
It's like,
oh
fucking
my God.
Oasis in the desert.
Inject me with the fumes of his... burps.
Yes.
Like yes. When Ray Romano shows up.
Yes.
Which
is pretty quick.
It is very quick.
It's like basically the third or fourth scene.
I think so too, because after this, he meets this first person. He goes back to his apartment, I think, and he sees a picture.
You remember more of this than I do.
I'm surprised I remember this much. We're going to see how far I can go. tune in and, 15 more minutes, ladies and gentlemen, when I'm like, I don't remember anything else now. And so he goes back home and he has a photo that was mailed to him by a client.
Yes.
It's a photo. I think it's like a thank you note, but it's also a photo of him, his client, and somebody, a woman who he's with and that played
by an anonymous woman played by Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder. And so the next scene, he shows up to a funeral.
Yes.
Winona Ryder's there. His client had died. And so he's just like there. And at the end of the funeral, Winona approaches him and says, like, oh, did you know my brother?
Yeah. And you're like,
So he's like, oh, yeah, I went to Cornell with him. I think it's Cornell.
He does say Cornell.
Yeah. I went to Cornell with him. We both were in the same graduating grade or whatever.
So you're not doing justice. It's... I went to Cornell with him.
I went to Cornell.
We were in the same ritual sacrifice class.
Your brother and I went to Cornell together. We were in the same graduating class. I just wanted to come out to see him. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Yeah. I hate mocking it.
Look, like, he's in Yellowstone now. He's making so much money. We can make fun of him.
Okay.
He's got it all figured out.
Yeah.
Speaking of Yellowstone, I went to go see Horizon last night.
How was it?
It is such a meme movie. It's 3 hours long. Doesn't even get out of the first act by the time it ends.
Really?
Because there's going to be three more of them.
Oh, my God. What's Horizon about?
So Horizon is about the West. And if you think I'm being bold, to the listener at home, we really don't want to talk about the last word. It cuts between six different states. Okay. And it is about all these different stories of people in the Old West trying to make it to a plot of land called Horizon. That is promises like free land, But it's occupied by the Apaches because it's their, you know, ancestral land.
Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1.
Yes. Which I went to see last night. Kevin Costner mortgaged his house, got divorced from his wife, and basically put all of his money on the line to make a four-part, 12-hour-long, theatrically released Western saga. And you have to respect it. Like,
is he okay?
You have to respect that he did that.
Like, is he all right?
He also quit Yellowstone for it.
Yeah. He did a lot of crazy things.
He basically put all of his finances online to make this movie that's probably not going to make that much money.
Is he okay?
You know, when you're getting into your 60s, you got to risk it all, you know? Put it all on the line.
And American Saga begins this summer. Chapter 1, June 28th. Chapter 2, August.
If you think I don't already have my 16th. Tickets for Chapter 2, you'd be mistaken. Comes out a month.
Sam Worthington is in it. And
every actor who, like, you kind of recognize is in this movie.
Oh, my God.
Right?
This is like a mid-2010s reunion. Right?
It's like I said, it's everybody who you kind of recognize.
It's got Danny Hudson in it. It's got...
Stuart, I would like you to guess which actor the movie ends on a dramatic reveal of.
Oh, God.
So... This movie.
Luke Wilson.
Stop. No, Luke Wilson has like scenes in it.
Okay.
So put the IMDb down. I'm going to give you some clues.
Okay.
So here's how the movie ends.
Yeah.
With a, you know how they end of Back to the Future 2? There's a montage of Back to the Future 3.
Right.
It has the same ending.
Uh-huh.
It like, there's a scene, there's a shootout. Danny Houston like looks at a, like a poster for Horizon and realizes this is going to get worse. More settlers are coming.
Yeah.
And then it segues into a montage of things that are going to happen in the second movie.
Oh.
Like Back to the Future 2,
oh,
like, style.
Oh, my God.
Like, and it is a 5-minute long montage of things that will happen in the second one.
No, he literally did the Back to the Future 2 bit.
And it's intercutting with, like, a printing press of the posters being made, being shipped out to, like, lure all these people to come to Horizon. There's probably some conspiracy with this company once the land develops so they can get oil or something like that. But it's intercut with this like printing press going. And then it ends with like a guy grabs the leaflet off and he walks up to a figure silhouetted in a window. And he hands him the paper and the guy looks at it and says, Horizon. Like, come to Horizon, find a new start for your family. And then a camera cuts outside the window and dramatically pushes in, revealing who this figure is, who's orchestrating this whole thing. Who do you think this actor is? Gun to your head.
Christian Bale.
You will never guess this.
I don't know. Tell
just
me.
Start showing some fucking names at me.
Russell Crowe.
No. This actor is in the movie Avatar.
Sam Worthington.
It's not Sam Worthington.
Sigourney Weaver.
It's not Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, is it that Colonel guy?
No, it is not Stephen Lang.
Stephen Lang. Oh, wait a minute. Is it Art of Training?
Yes, it's fucking Giovanni Ribisi. And then it cuts to directed by Kevin Costner.
Oh, my it, like, God.
I... The second this montage is happening, I'm sitting in the theater and it starts cutting and I'm like, wait, I know who this is. I know his silhouette. I've seen Avatar. And it's, are they going to end this movie with the dramatic reveal that Giovanni Ribisi will be in the second one? And I'm just like, let's go. I'm getting fired up in the theater. I'm sitting there with former guests of the show, Mark Tilly and Cole Bradley. And we're all like, I think this is about to end on a shot of Giovanni Ribisi. And we're like, yeah. And then it cuts around. He comes in and goes, on a titanium, cut to black. Oh my
wow.
God.
The film premiered at Cannes at May 19th and received a 10-minute standing ovation. Wow.
If you like Westerns or Kevin Costner, this is the perfect 7 out of 10 movie.
Kevin Costner invested $38 million own money into the movie.
You know how sometimes you'll see like a 7 out of 10 movie and you are like, this is better than some 8 out of 10s that I've watched, but it's still a 7. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you watch the perfect 7 out of 10. Horizon is, to me, the perfect 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's okay. not better than a 7, but it is perfect for being a 7.
Yeah. Interesting.
Anyway, so, yeah, Winona Ryder's at this funeral.
Yeah, and we find...
Because he goes to Cornell.
Yeah, he says, I knew your brother at Cornell. And so then... it's like we cut back to another diner scene where he's sitting across from, it's not Ray Romano still. Well, there's another guy that he talks to.
Who fucking cares about this guy? We don't even have to talk about him.
You're right.
He is not relevant to this plot.
There's one scene where he comes back.
Yeah, he comes back in Wes Bentley's to be like, I don't know you.
Yeah. And that's, I've never met this guy before in my life.
But it's Ray Romano. I just want to talk about Ray Romano.
Let's talk about Ray.
Who is really lively in this movie and rather lovely.
Yeah.
I think he's like act like he's bringing a lot of soul. He's bringing a whole lot of soul to this performance.
Besides the last Ice Age movie, I don't think I've ever seen him like, you know, phoned in.
When's he ever phoned it in?
I don't think. Well, the last
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Everybody. Yeah. The last Ice Age movie.
Yeah. Everybody Loves Raymond.
He phoned it in.
I have not seen the last. I chapped out with Dawn of the Dinosaurs. I have not seen Melting Point or whatever the fuck it's called, or Continental Drift.
Continental
the pirate
Drift.
One. I think a lot about the Dennis Leary quote where he's like, Ice Age is my favorite movie franchise to be a part of. Every few years, they tell you to show up to this room. You yell some lines for 2 days into a microphone, and then they give you $5 million. He's like, it's the best. I love it.
That is the best gig.
It's the best gig.
Yeah.
But Ray Romano. Oh, well, it's established basically at this point. We figure out what Wes Bentley's game is.
Yeah.
He writes suicide notes.
He writes suicide notes
for people,
people
who don't have, like, an artistic sensibility and don't know how to write like their last word. That's what this movie's called, The Last Word.
Yeah.
So he writes people's final, you know, statements.
Yeah.
Ray Romano's a client who's looking for a suicide note.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh no, I'm not very artistic. Even though he is a composer.
Yeah, he's a composer for like elevator music and hold music.
Yeah, and like phone jingles.
Yeah. Which is a real business.
I have a friend who does it.
Yeah.
He says very lucrative.
Very lucrative. Yeah.
I mean, we have a guy who writes the theme for this very show, who also does the scores to movies. Like,
yeah.
Michael, cool. We love you.
We love Michael.
But Ray Romano, and so Westman's like, what kind of writers do you like? And Ray Romano's like, I like Tom Clancy. Can you do something in that style?
Yeah.
And then he writes The Hunt for Dead October as a suicide note.
Oh my gosh.
But that's how we get introduced to his concept.
Yeah.
Winona calls him up because she got his number and asks him if he'd like to just, you know, go meet her at a diner. So he goes to meet her at a diner.
Yeah, Winona starts it.
Yes.
Winona initiates it.
Yes. Yeah, she starts it and she says the best line in this movie. She's like, do you want pie? And he's like, I don't know. I don't know if I like pie. I don't know if I like things.
What's pie?
And she says, I recommend anything in the cream family.
Yeah, that was good. The way you said it was really good.
But she tracked him down and basically asked him to go on a date with her, like in the future.
Yeah, she's very forward about this. And she's the one initiating all
of this.
She's
like, you were a friend of my brother's, and I'm interested in learning more about my brother because we were estranged. And you seem like a way to do that.
So we should fuck.
Yes, basically.
like that is, she even says that at some point. Like she brings him to the...
She brings him to the club.
Yeah. And it's so not his thing.
It's not his thing at all. It's like, and like I kind of relate with him in this moment because like it's like...
Yeah, like it's not a lot of people's things. Yeah.
I think she takes 8 shots in the scene I clocked.
And when Nona, like, listen, women in their mid to late 30s are absolutely like, you know, they should go out to the club and do that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, it was just, there was a moment where I'm like, okay, this isn't, like, you're in your late 30s. Like, I understand, like, women in their late 30s probably still go out to clubs, but like, not like this.
Yeah.
She's definitely trying to be like, kind of like the...
And the movie does make a point of that where he's like, aren't you a little, you know, too dull for this?
Oh, does he say that?
He says something along those lines. But like she's going to a club and she takes like 8 shots, I think.
Yeah.
And then it just like cuts to them she's driving a car.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, sorry, that wasn't your thing. And she's like, totally fine. I'm like, wait. I saw her take 8 shots.
Yeah. And
she's driving the car totally fine.
Oh.
I thought the scene was going to be like, you know, she like crashes or something like that. But no, she just drops him off.
And that's the thing in this movie, that he takes the bus in L.A.
Yeah, he takes the bus. He's a weirdo, and everyone hates him for it. And, you know, they are right to hate him for it.
Yeah, who takes the fucking bus in L.A.?
He gets honest with her in the car ride or somewhere around here about his childhood.
Yeah.
He says, my father was abusive. My mother got sick of it and took me, and we ran away. And he chased us across 9 states.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, my God. Like, are you fine? He's like... No, I'm pretty traumatized by it. They did make an NBC movie of the week about it, though. You should watch it. This comes back later because she does find the VHS in the movie and watches it.
Yeah.
Very ridiculous. Anyway, this like Burgoyne romance is intercut with him meeting with Ray Romano a bunch of times to figure out Ray Romano's suicide note.
Yeah.
And slowly starting to realize that Ray Romano, you know, is an artist and should be gifting his art to the world instead of killing himself.
Yeah, it's
big lesson to learn.
It's funny because like the whole lesson that like this movie's trying to like say about this guy is that he should have been using his talent to like talk people out of suicide.
Yes, to help people. Instead, he's just been enabling them the whole time.
Pretty much, yeah. He kind of enables their suicidal thoughts and behaviors. Yeah, it's weird. I have even weirder thoughts that it's like the people who are committing suicide, you know, they're...
The comedy in this movie is not nearly dark enough for it to be funny.
Yeah.
And it's not nearly soulful enough to like thread the needle of he's gonna help people now.
Right.
Instead of just like, so he's killing people and then he's like, you probably shouldn't kill yourself.
Yeah.
And then it ends.
Yeah, that's pretty much it because he goes, we can skip to that scene too.
I think we can there are some random things I did want to hype up.
Yeah, yeah. Hype him up.
There's a good bit where he and Winona start making out and then he pulls away and the score just cuts off, which is funny. It's always funny when you just cut the music off during a romance scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a sequence where he's listening to the answering machine of Winona and Ray Romano calling him while he's isolating himself and he just sadly eats a burrito.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing that happens.
Because he isolates himself.
Yep.
Ray Romano wrote a piano sonata at one point, but was laughed out by the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra. And now just writes phone jingles like, I don't want to try it again because they'll laugh at me.
Yeah.
It's like, you won't know unless you try it again. Big lesson for him to learn. Then the dude goes to meet Winona's parents and his like former client's parents.
Yeah. And that's when the whole charade starts to like.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, Matt and I didn't go to college together. I met him on the bus. I helped them kill themselves.
He didn't help them kill themselves. Yeah. He writes their suicide. Yeah. Note. That's the.
He actually doesn't tell them that at that point. He does not reveal that much. He just reveals that that he didn't meet Matt at college. He's like, I wanted you guys to think I was smart.
Yeah. And then Winona goes to his apartment while he's not there. Or he's in the shower or something. And then she is able to find out, oh, he's actually writing suicide notes for other people. And he wrote my brother's suicide note.
I wrote at this point, God, Bentley is so bad in this.
He's really terrible. And like, here's the thing, like Winona in that scene where it's the reveal and she knows that he wrote her brother's suicide note. Like, I mean, I don't know what I would be expecting from a movie of this caliber, but like, I know what I could possibly be expecting from Winona. And I just don't feel like she really like, maybe she just didn't care to go over the top about it.
Yeah, she's like, she gets upset and she leaves.
You find out that your lover like started this whole relationship on a lie. And not only that, is part of the reason why he killed himself, like in some sense, some distorted sense, you could make the claim that like, well, you're why he killed himself. If it weren't for you, he wouldn't have gone through with it. Like, and that scene wasn't nearly as like big as I thought it probably deserved to be.
Movie is not directed. It's just like a collection of scenes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That are poorly plotted.
Because I knew not to expect that from Wes Bentley's character, but I just thought like Winona could have been like, could have really ate that scene up a little
bit. She could have if, you know, this movie had any interest in doing that. I'm struggling to like hype up like what this movie could be because like I just don't care.
No, and there's nothing that this movie could be that could be good.
Yeah.
Because the message isn't that like inspiring or good in any way, shape, or form.
Like the last scene of this movie that I have any like care about is like he's depressed and then he comes across Ray Romano who's threatening to jump off a bridge into the freeway.
Yeah.
And he like kind of talks him down, but then Ray Romano still cuts the fence and you're left with like the cliffhanger. Did Ray Romano jump?
Yeah.
And then the end of the movie, Winona and him like reconcile slightly, but they agree to call it off.
Oh,
like no more.
Is that what it happened?
She takes the giraffe plush that he bought her and leaves.
Yeah.
And then like he links up with this guy who wanted to commit suicide. And he and Ray Romano help this guy get over his like depression
what was it
by blowing up a printer.
Oh, right.
The movie
that's
ends with
what
the printer
it was.
Exploding and then it
yeah,
goes to credits.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was wondering about that again, about like what was the whole printer bit again? Okay.
Yeah, but the guy like he's depressed by his job and so
yeah, he's like learned his lesson that like in rather than like enabling and help assisting folks commit suicide, he should use his talents and gifts to like try to help people.
Yes.
Not commit suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gun to your head, are you for assisted suicide?
Gun to my head, am I for assisted suicide? Within reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
I think like, you know, for medical conditions, some, you know, Scandinavian countries have like euthanasia if you want to at the end of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, there's a place. There's like, I don't want to get too much into it, but there's like, you know, there's a place for the discussion to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It should be like willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Like, I stubbed my toe. I'm going to go to the clinic today. Like,
yeah.
No, probably shouldn't do that.
No, but for like, you know, terminal cancer patients.
Yeah.
Who are just like, in a lot of pain and want to go out with dignity, then there's a place for discussion.
Absolutely.
But that's the last word, and that's the last word we have on this.
I wanted to end this podcast with. Yeah. It's a very fucking serious topic.
Yeah.
This movie does not deserve...
Listeners, I know this has not been an exciting run to listen to, I'm sure. Just us saying like, yeah, this is what happens in this movie, and it sucks.
And it's horrible.
Yeah, it blows up. But don't worry, because it gets better next week. That's a lie.
Next week we have
The Informers, a movie that truly doesn't exist. This doesn't exist either, but...
Yeah, the
Informers actually exists more than this. I don't know what I'm saying.
The next few movies all really don't really exist until Star Trek.
Yeah, really. Star Trek is when we really get back to it. But that's soon. That's coming up.
That's coming up-ish.
And then we're talking about like real movies again. We got, you know, Black Swan.
Heaven on High. We get to talk about real movies again.
What is Heaven on High? That's not on the list.
No, that's the expression.
Oh, the
Heaven
expression.
On High.
I thought you were saying there's a movie she's in called Heaven on High. And I'm like, I'm covering that.
Informers and then Private Lives of Pippa Lee. I don't know a damn thing about the Private Lives
the
of Pippa
Private Lives of Pippa Lee.
Pippa Lee. Not Pippa P.
So are you aware we get to talk about a Hallmark movie soon?
Tom Hanks isn't? No, that's not a different movie. We have to talk about what?
We get to talk about a Hallmark movie soon. Or like a Lifetime movie.
Which one?
When Love Is Not Enough.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's on Tubi.
It is on Tubi. That's where I'm going to watch it.
I think that's a good way to end this episode.
Siri, you should watch it on Tubi so you can experience the best app ever.
I will watch it. I'll try to watch it on Tubi.
Mm. But yeah. That
Barry was Pepper.
Yeah, we're back to the Barry Pepper songs.
Oh my He's God. Back. Barry Pepper.
May my gun be blessed by you, my lord.
And then it's Black Swan. Dilemma than
the, I'm a black swan.
The Iceman. Ooh.
Look, that's not gonna be a good movie, but that'll be at least something to talk about. That guy killed people in Jersey, so we'll be able to talk about Jersey.
Dude, it's got a fucking cast.
Dude, are you aware I'm literally bringing an expert on New Jersey on for the Iceman episode? Because it's
who's the New Jersey expert?
It is Connor Hess, the co-host of Above the Title.
Oh, okay.
Our best friend podcast.
But like David Schwimmer, Ray Liotta, Winona Ryder, James Franco, Chris Evans, Michael Shannon.
Look, that'll be fun.
Steven Dorff.
You know what's not fun? Talking about the last word. Don't watch this movie, folks. Very bad. I have no information on how much money this movie made. It got blasted in reviews. Very bad reception. Basically doesn't exist anymore. The only way to watch it is to order a DVD or have a library account and go to hoopla.com.
Hoopla!
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 Fantastic.
People do also single out Romano as being pretty good in this, which I think we both agree on.
When is he not good?
But that's all we have for this week on The Last Word. Tune in next week for our episode on The Informers, another exciting film in this run of Winona's career. But yeah, I think that's all we have. Thank you so much for listening. As a reminder, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you're on. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Amazon Music. We're on a lot of places. Hit us with a like, subscribe. We appreciate you all for tuning in. You popped our Reddit, r/Trevolting, @TrevoltingPod, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky Threads, TrevoltingPodcast@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter @JeffWSweeney. Special thanks, as always, to Becca for the graphic design, Michael Van Bodegum Smith for the theme music that's taking you out. Have a great week, folks, and see you next time for The Informers.
Watch The Big Sick.